So let's pray as we begin. Father, I pray that our ears will be open to hear your words and our hearts to receive it. Amen. Thank you for those two readings, two quite long readings, two quite tough readings actually, in many ways. And we'll come back to them and look about what they may have to say to us in a few moments that we have together. But I want to talk first about moving house. Because they say, don't they, that moving house is one of the most stressful things that you can ever do. And I can vouch for that, having moved house now twice in the last 3 years. This time was actually relatively easy, despite the pandemic. And don't worry, we're not planning to do it again in a hurry. But 3 years ago was a little bit different. Of course, it didn't help that we were moving out of a house we'd lived in for several decades. At exactly the same time, our daughter was getting married and Anna was getting ordained, all within a six-week period. We had a bit of a rest afterwards. It was fairly stressful. I wonder why we find moving house so stressful. Is it something to do with all that uprooting and all that change? But is it also something to do with how we handle and manage all that stuff? When we moved here, we couldn't believe the removal lorry was stuffed to the roof. Have we really got all that stuff? What do we keep? What do we get rid of? What do we give away? Will it all fit into the house, the new house, and will everything match? All of us, I think, will resonate with the fact that we tend to accumulate stuff, whether you're a bit of a hoarder or a bit of a chucker. I'm a chucker, but others may be hoarders. Inevitably, as time goes on, more and more stuff is accumulated. I think it's what God made lofts for. Maybe we just can't deal with it. Maybe we need a blitz every so often. But as we think about stuff, Harvest Festival is a time when, as Christians, we come to God in thankfulness for all he gives us. Whether that's stuff, whether that's food, whether that's money, or whether that's our gifts, it's a time to show gratitude, particularly to those in our communities and the wider world who work to produce the food we eat. As I sat waiting to begin the service, various bags arrived with produce going up to the top, all things from all over the country, all over the world that we'll be sharing with the food bank later. In thankfulness, we in turn, as we have done this morning, bring gifts to church to present to God. And this is a tradition that runs back centuries, even millennia, one that Jews in the Old Testament would have been familiar with, although they would have celebrated it quite differently to the way that we celebrate it to now. Our Harvest Festival is a fairly recent invention. Let's go back to our readings. Our Old Testament reading is a story of an Old Testament harvest time, with Boaz offering Ruth traditional rights to glean in his field, but extending those rights to display generosity far beyond what was considered normal. We'll come back to look at what this might mean a little later. Then in our reading from Matthew, we hear a story of a man who had his own solution to dealing with his stuff as he moved away for a long period, giving it to his three servants to manage, and then holding them to account for what they did with that money when he returned. Again, this is something we'll come back to in a little while. And it's good, isn't it, to thank God for all good gifts around us, as the hymn says. But this morning I want to focus particularly, as part of our sermon series on Who on Earth Are We?, on a phrase that says, we are stewards. We are stewards. As stewards, we're called to care for and manage all that God gives us, like those three servants, often called stewards in some translations, so that whatever he gives us, be that the created world, our possessions, our money, and our talents, as we begin to see these things as God-given gifts, for us to care for and use for his glory, rather than just our possessions to do with and dispose of as we wish. It may begin to change our attitudes and our aspirations. And I want this morning to suggest three things for us to reflect on from our readings as we consider what it means when we say we are stewards as Christians. Let's go back to the reading from Matthew, to that master described in Matthew as going on a journey. He was obviously gone for some considerable time, dispersing his possessions to his servants. Each, interestingly, got a different amount according to his master's assessment of the servant's ability to manage it. But what was clear in the story, that what was given to each to care for remained the property of the master. When he came back, he wanted it back. It was a gift that was to be returned. The hearers who heard Jesus tell this parable would have got the message loud and clear, as I suspect we do. All that we have from God remains his. The parable reminds us that he's given them to us not simply to enjoy, but to use for his glory. Today we particularly celebrate the gifts and talents of our food producers and the wonderful variety of produce we take and enjoy as a result. But we also remember all of this comes from God, and it is given to us to use for him. The servant that buried his master's treasure in a hole came in for particular criticism. Even though he returned it intact, he didn't steal it, but he didn't use it. He just put it in a hole and then gave it back when the master returned. The good things from God are given to us for a purpose, to use them for his glory, not just to tuck them away in the equivalent of a loft and leave them there gathering dust. How might we actively use the gifts that God has given us, whether that's our money, our possessions, or our talents, whether we're wealthy and successful or think of ourselves as poor and ordinary? This equally applied. Remember, the master gave different amounts to different people according to their ability to use them. In God's view of the world, we all have uniquely given gifts and talents given to us to use for him. As I said, the teaching in the parable is tough for the servant who decided not to use what he was given for the purpose for which he had been given it. Fellow stewards, surely this passage reminds us that we should use what we have been given, whatever that is. Let's go back to the story of Boaz in the book of Ruth. And he was one of those people that seems to have done rather well in the gift-giving stakes. The story shows him as wealthy, godly, and popular with his workers. You don't often see that. An all-round good egg, if you like. It was harvest time, and Boaz had arrived into his fields to see how his workers were getting on with the harvest, when he noticed Ruth, trying no doubt to be inconspicuous as she gleaned in the fields behind the harvesters. Now, allowing people to glean in this way, the dropped corn, was one of the customs that Israelites followed. If you like, it's a kind of Old Testament social security. It allowed the poor and the marginalised and the landless to at least gather some food. Landowners were told to leave the edge of their fields unharvested so they can be gleaned, and allow the gleaners to travel behind and pick up anything that was dropped before the birds got it. But Boaz, of course, went far further than just following the custom. Feeding her, instructing his workers to leave this poor, defenseless and vulnerable young woman alone, but also making sure that extra grain dropped into her path, allowing her to keep her dignity while supporting her in her need. As stewards, the Bible gives us clear guidance on expectations on how we handle and give our possessions to others in need. Don't worry, that's a whole other sermon. If I started to preach that now, you would miss your chance to book for Anna's collation, because you'd be here for hours. But there's also a clear encouragement to go beyond what is normal and usual and customary and expected. Go beyond what the legal position is in order to be generous stewards, as God is generous to us. How might we in turn be generous stewards with what he gives us? So we are called to be generous stewards. And now I want to get a bit political. You're allowed that sharp, indrawn bit of breath if you like. You're political in church? Surely not. As we consider, we're being political as we consider who Boaz was supporting. Here he was, a leading member of the local community, offering generous support to a foreigner. Ruth, a Moabite woman, has come to Israel with her mother-in-law during a time in famine in her home country. These days, we might call her an economic migrant. You can probably imagine some of the conversations at the town gate, dark mutterings about why Boaz wasn't supporting our local poor instead of wasting his wealth on these ne'er-do-well foreigners from Moab. Surely charity begins at home. Maybe that sounds dangerously familiar to some of our current political debates. And wherever you stand on the current immigration and migration questions that are going on in the UK today, the reading from Ruth challenges us to consider again who God calls us to serve as his stewards. We, after all, serve a God who loves all his children, wherever they're from. Our Jesus, whose ministry had a particular focus on the poor and the marginalised. That's who he spent most of his time with through the Gospels. How should that broad love, that inclusive love, inform how we use his gifts to bring him glory? Stewards, are we prepared to use our gifts to serve him and our talents to help, both in expected places but also in unexpected places? Now, we may not feel as rich and powerful as Boaz. We may instinctively sympathise with the third servant in the parable of the talents who took the risk-free option. It's not unreasonable. At least he wasn't stealing anything. But don't give up. We serve a God who knows us and loves us, and like the master in the parable, gives to each of us different gifts according to his plans for us. There are none of us who have no gifts. We all have different and unique gifts. As we celebrate the gift of food at harvest and thank God, a God who provides it, let's also celebrate the gifts he has given us. And as his stewards, prayerfully consider how we may use them more actively, more generously, and more inclusively in the weeks, months, and years to ahead. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your gifts. We thank you for all that you have given each one of us, individually and separately. May we use those gifts as your stewards to your glory. Amen. I've lost my bit of paper with the next hymn, so someone can shout that out.